Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Good morning, everybody. 8 o'clock. So good to see you all online. Welcome to it today. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Listen, we've got an all-male stream team here as we're streaming live this morning. Those dad jokes, I want to tell you, we are having a lot of fun here this morning. It's just a lot of fun in the stream room. We are delighted that you've joined us and that you're able to connect in with us. To all the dads, today's message is for dads, but it's wider than that. It's for everybody on the power of blessing. And I pray that it is a blessing to each and every one of you today, not only to the dads, but to moms and to brothers and sisters as we, in our series called Powerhouse, Building Stronger Families, not perfect, just stronger, right? And I had a real special moment this morning. I left the house bright and early because we're streaming live, get you nice and early to make sure everything's ready to go. But just as I got into the car and I was pulling out of the garage, my daughter Kate, who generally likes to sleep a lot later than her brother Caleb. Caleb was up early. He was able to wish me a happy Father's Day. But Kate stuck her head into the garage just as I started the car and just said, "Hi, Dad, and I'll see you later, Dad." And I knew that for her, that was her way of blessing me, that she actually got herself out of bed to see me before I left. And so we'll celebrate later on. But for the dads who are in the home today, I pray that you have an amazing day today. And for those who want to be dads, all those who are praying to be dads, the same for you as well. For those of you who've lost a dad maybe over this last year, I know today may not be an easy day for you, but I do pray that the memory of your dad would linger sweetly with you. So today, Powerhouse, Building Stronger Families, not perfect, just stronger. We're going to talk about the power of blessing, the power of a blessing, specifically how it is that you and I can bless the people around us, how it is that we can bless our families. This applies to dads, of course, but it applies to every parent. It applies to every brother and sister. It applies to every young adult, every teenager, every child watching today. This applies to you. And of course, as fathers, we take the lead in blessing our homes, but each one of us in the family, as we reside in our family units, as we are in our family homes, here's the thing, church, each one of us are responsible for imparting a blessing to the other one. No matter whether you're the youngest or the oldest, no matter whether you're a breadwinner or not, what matters is that our presence, you and I, we each of us are able to bless our families. I want to start today by telling you a story of us that I read just the other day. It's a story about a very overweight man, a big guy, fat guy. He was sitting there and a young soldier walked past him. The soldier was fit and trim. The soldier was in the best shape of his life. And he looked over at this guy sitting on his chair, who was, as I said, very overweight. And he looked down at him and in a very condescending, nasty, ugly way, he says to him, "You look like a pig." Well, this man, who was large and overweight, looked back at him and he said, "And you, my friend, look like God." The young soldier stopped and said, "How do you figure that?" He says, "Well, we actually project outside what's inside of us. You see, my friend," he said to him, "I sit under this tree all day long and I think about God. So when I look out, that's what I see. So to me, you look like God. But you, well, you must have been thinking about some other things." Challenging story, hey. The point of it is this: what goes on inside of us determines whether we can bless those in front of us. What goes on inside of us determines whether we can bless those in front of us. Today, we're going to learn what a blessing is, how we can bless, and how our presence can be a blessing to those, and how we can actually, in the verb sense, in the doing sense of it, how we can bless our families. You know, our world has lots of people that curse in it. And I mean that by criticizing, complaining, tear down, moan, complain, gaslight, verbally assassinate. There's lots of cursing going on in our world, isn't there? But God is a God of blessing, and we're called to emulate, we're called to become after Him, in that we are called to bless the world around us. We're called to bless those around us, those people around us, and those things around us. And God spoke a blessing over creation right from the word go. He said what? He said He looked at His creation. Every time He created something, He looked around, He said, "It is good." God blessed His creation. And of course, then after He had created Adam and Eve, mankind, He looked and He said, "It is very good." You and I are the pinnacle of His creation. And as such, not only has He blessed us, but He calls us to take after Him and to bless those around us, to be a blessing, not simply to be a blessing, but to actually bless those around us. In the Sermon on the Mount, not only do we see God in Genesis blessing His creation, but in the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus as He announces. There's this beautiful announcement of the kingdom of heaven that comes to earth. And how does Jesus start it? He starts it with a blessing. He starts it with a declaration of a blessing. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, and this is where we're going to camp a little bit today. Matthew chapter 5, and it's verses 3 to 12. I'll read it to you from an old-fashioned hard copy analog Bible. Still the best way to read scripture. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 3. Let's read it together. It'll be on your screens. Jesus announces and He says, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted." See how you can see here, God is a blessing God. Not only did He bless His creation each step of the way as He created it, Jesus announces the kingdom of God with the fact that God is a blessing God. Let's go on, verse 5. "God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're My followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad," Jesus says, "for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way." That's where we'll leave it today. Jesus experienced the blessing of His Father. Jesus was the Son who had His Father bless Him. So we see this picture of God being a blessing God. Here we go. God blessing His creation. God, Jesus, God Himself, announcing the fact that God is a blessing God and there is a blessing on His people that He's created. And then we see this powerful picture of God blessing Jesus at His baptism. It's found in Matthew chapter 3, just a couple of chapters back. We'll read it together. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says this: "After His baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove." Now watch the blessing. "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is My dearly loved Son, who brings Me great joy.'" Jesus Himself experiences the blessing of His Father. God is a blessing God. God is a God of blessing. The first words He spoke over creation were blessing. It is good. First words He spoke over mankind were, "You are very good." And our world, you know, there are so, so many people who can curse and complain, but God calls us to become blessers, people who bless others. That translation of Jesus being blessed, another translation says, "This is My blessed Son, My blessed child. In Him I take great delight." You know, the blessing that we all hunger and thirst for the most is a blessing from our Father. You know, anthropologists, psychologists, writers on spiritual formation all agree that the Father's blessing, a Father's blessing, is the most powerful and deepest internal need that you and I have. And God knew that. That's why he blessed Jesus. That's why he blessed him so powerfully. And Jesus knew his Father's blessing. Jesus knew he was going to be reborn through his Father's blessing. So this picture we have of Jesus coming up out of the waters of baptism is also a picture of birth. It's this picture of Jesus' head coming out of the water, as in birth. And as he does so, he hears a blessing from his Father. That was the game changer for Jesus, the game changer for his ministry. That explained everything about Jesus' ministry, why he could minister as powerfully as what he did. Why? Because he heard the moment he came up out of his baptism, it was like his second birth, it was like a rebirth. He was reborn in that moment into the blessing of his Father. And the blessing that we give to people can affect them profoundly. It can affect them deeply. In blessing others, church, here's the thing. We have the ability to form how they see the world. Our blessing of others profoundly and deeply impacts how they see the world. So, with all that said, what is a blessing? What does it mean to bless? Well, blessing has its root from the Latin word called benedicere. Benedicere sounds Italian because Latin, of course, was the precursor to Italian. So if you've ever wondered why Latin and Italian sound a little bit similar, that's why it is. Benedicere. Bene means good. Dicere means to speak. It's literally to speak good of. When we bless others, we speak well of them. Perhaps I could say to you, the way to understand a blessing is in its opposite. And the opposite of a blessing is, of course, a curse. Now, contrary to what you might think, a curse is not what you and I might say when we head on the, if you're in Joburg, on the N12 highway, and we get on and we notice that the highway is backed up. You know, one of those mornings where it's backed up for miles, like 15 kilometers. I have been in those traffic jams. I have needed a wee so badly, I've considered a Coke bottle. It's been one of the, cursing is not that moment. It's not what you say. Cursing is something much more profound, actually, and much deeper than that. A cursing is when we say to somebody who's in our midst and in our presence, when we say to someone, when we look at them and we say, I don't like your presence here with me right now. I don't like your presence with me right now. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Every parent will be able to relate to this. Picture yourself as a parent. Picture yourself having a two-year-old, a toddler in the house. The toddler's in the high chair, supposed to be eating dinner. The toddler, though, is doing anything but eating dinner. The toddler is spraying the food around. With shrieks of delight and squeals of joy, this toddler is taking the food that's supposed to go into the mouth and breaking it up and chucking it, spinning it around the entire kitchen. Now, every parent's been there. But when that parent, out of tiredness, exhaustion, anger, and frustration, shouts at that toddler and says, "Shut up for a moment. Just eat your food. I don't want you to do anything other than just eat your food." That right there is a curse. To curse somebody is to suppress life within them. It is to deny joy. It is to squelch exuberance. And it is to shame enthusiasm. Let me say that again. To curse somebody is to suppress the life within them. It's to deny joy. It's to squelch excitement and exuberance, and it's to shame enthusiasm. That's what it truly means to curse. The life that's within us begins to deflate. It begins to depress. A man called Robert Moore, he studies human energy. It's interesting. He says that he figures most adults live in a state of chronic depression, not a chemical depression. It's more like it's a grayness, it's a flatness, it's a joylessness. It's something that this joylessness and flatness and grayness that permeates life and robs it of color. Perhaps that's how you feel about your life at the moment. Perhaps that's what life feels like to you, or perhaps that's what life has felt like to you for some time. Just this grayness, this flatness, this colorlessness, this texturelessness of life might well be because you've not been blessed, but you've had actually somebody speak a curse over you, not in a spiritual, hyper-spiritual sense, but you've had somebody depress the life out of you through the words that they've spoken to you. God, on the other hand, would look at his young creation, this young world that he created, and he sees this young world spinning, literally throwing the food from its high chair, and he says to this young creation, the first thing God says to it, notice it, it is good. He speaks life over it. Why do we live in a slightly depressed state? Because of a lack of blessing. So, how to bless then becomes the question. How? Like if you're a parent with a two-year-old toddler, those of us who are parents, we've all been there. How do two parents look at each other and in the midst of the heartaches that are in their own heart, in the midst of the exhaustion and the flatness of their lives, how do they look at each other and then look at their toddler in the chair and instead of a curse, how do they bless? In other words, how do they celebrate life? How do they encourage life? How do we do that? I want to give you and offer you three thoughts today about what constitutes a blessing, what makes a blessing. And a man called Ronald Rollheiser, incredible thinker, wrote a book called Sacred Flame. And he in this book, he gives three highlights of what it really means to bless. I want to offer those to you today. Firstly, to bless somebody is to really see them. It is to see someone. To really, really see them. Story goes of a 13-year-old girl. Her mom and dad were going through some marital struggles. The dad had got to a place where he had moved out, and he had just become distant. He had absorbed himself in his job and in his work, and the parents were on the verge of proper separation and formal divorce. 13-year-old girl was obviously really struggling. One day she goes to the shopping mall and out of the blue enters a shop and shoplifts a small, almost valueless item. It costs like 100 rand. The shopkeepers noticed that the cameras caught it, and instead of laying charges, they decided, look, they'll just give this young lady a warning. And they called a policeman over. Instead of charging and doing anything formal, they just asked the policeman to issue her with a warning. That's all they asked her to do. This 13-year-old girl responded so interestingly. She said, here's my dad's telephone number. I want you to call him because I want him to come here and to pick me up. I want him to come here and pick me up. We don't need to be rocket scientists to know that what she was really wanting from her dad was to be seen. Hey, we see this all throughout childhood. We probably remember it from our own childhood, but certainly we see it in the lives of our children if you're a parent watching, where a child on the playground goes, Mommy, Daddy, look at me, check it out. My kids, Kate and Caleb, if they're doing anything in the garden or if they're drawing or if they're doing something interesting, the moment I get home, hey, Dad, have a look. Hey, Mom, have a look. They're playing on the trampoline. Look at me, Dad. Look what I can do. I can remember being on the side of a swimming pool at one of my friend's birthday parties. I'll never forget it. I was 10 years of age. I remember standing on the side of the swimming pool wanting to do a forward somersault. I just learned how to do a forward somersault into the pool. I remember trying to get everybody around the pool. Hey, guys, check this thing out. Why? Because there's a deep need within each one of us to be seen. And therefore, the first and most profoundly important way that you and I can bless others is to see them, is to really, really see them. Every year as a family, we watch Wimbledon. Perhaps you do too. But right at the end of the ladies' final and the men's final, the Duke of Kent comes out and he presents the trophy. And as he does so, he walks along this lovely plush carpet that they lay on the grass court. And of course, all the ball girls and ball boys line up on either side of him. And he stops at every about third or fourth ball boy or ball girl to stop and to speak to them. And it's interesting, I always watch his face to try and see who he's going to stop at. And of course, every ball boy and every ball girl that serves at the Wimbledon final desperately, desperately wants to be seen by the Duke of Kent. As he walks along, I guess they're hoping that he'll lock eyes with them and he will see them as an individual, stop with them, chat with them for a couple of seconds, and then move on. It's powerful to be seen, isn't it? And it is powerful when you and I see each other, really see each other. We bless others by seeing them, church. A president of a company or president of a college blesses the college, blesses the company. President of a country blesses the country when he sees the country. A mom and a dad bless their children when they really see their children. The dean of a university blesses the faculty when he sees them. An executive blesses his company or his staff when he sees them. A coach blesses his players when he sees that rare gift that they've got, that rare ability to do something that the other players don't have. A friend blesses another friend when he sees his friend in a time of need, when he sees what his friend really needs. Of course, a pastor blesses his congregation, her congregation, when they see what the church needs. A restaurant owner blesses their clients when they come to the table, see them, and ask how they are doing. Pastor Ken and I experienced this with such delight. It was such a delightful moment. It was such a moment of blessing for us a couple of years ago when we were in Italy, and we were in a little Italian restaurant, like a little nonna's tavern. You know, it was one of those small Italian restaurants where the nonna, the granny, she actually meets you as you come into the restaurant. She looks and sees every single client that comes into that place. She's looking at every table all the time, checking. But at the end of the evening, after having first guided us through the menu, told us exactly what we should be eating, ordering on our behalf, she then came to us, made sure we got dessert, and then she blessed us with a lemon. She places this lemon on our table, looked at us, and said, "Thank you for coming to my restaurant." We felt like we had been seen in that moment. Jesus saw people, church. Mark 10, 21, there's this powerful scene of the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. He asks Jesus all sorts of questions. Jesus tells him how the kingdom of heaven can come in his life, and the man can't do it. But the scripture's powerful because Mark 10, 21, Jesus says that Jesus looked at him. It says that Jesus looked at him. Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. Can I invite you today, church, into the practice? Can I invite you to learn with me? Man, some days I get this right, and then other days I feel like I miss the mark. I feel like I miss the mark sometimes with Pastor Canned, as my wife, my kids. I feel like I miss the mark sometimes with our staff, those people that are closest to me. I miss the mark sometimes with my family, with my brothers, my parents. Can I invite you to learn with me today? To see people, to look at them, and to not just look through them, but to look at them. The practice of seeing somebody. That's the first way we bless people. Second way is to speak well of somebody. To speak well of somebody, that's how we bless them. Matthew chapter 3, I love it. Jesus is getting baptized, that text we read earlier. As he's being baptized, the heavens open, God speaks. What does he do? He speaks well of Jesus. He says, "This is my blessed child, in him I take delight." He speaks words of blessing over him, and he affirms Jesus, and he tells Jesus how much he loves him and how delighted he is. The way to speak blessing is to tell somebody that you delight in them, that they are a delight to you. It is to be totally sincere and to say, I am glad you're here. That's what God was saying to Jesus. I am glad you're here. I'm glad you're my son. Your presence here brings me life. And when we speak well of someone, we affirm them. We bless them. Our words, they find their way into the soul of the person who receives that. When a parent speaks well of their child, my son, my daughter, I am so proud of you, not for what you've done, but for who you are. When a teacher says to their student, congratulations on those brilliant grades, on having done so well. When a coach speaks to their player and says, great job, great game today, well played. When a manager says to their staff member, you have done an amazing job, we appreciate you. That's speaking well of someone. We've got a little evening ritual in our family. Actually learned these words from Pastor Bill Hybels years ago. And Pastor Ken and I decided that they would be like a little evening mantra for us. And so every night when Kate and Caleb go to bed, we speak words over them and we pray for them. But then we just simply say this. I say to Caleb, if I could choose from all the little boys in the whole wide world, I would always choose you. I go to Kate's room and I say to her, Kate, if I could choose from all the little girls in the whole wide world, I would choose you. It's just to speak well of them, to speak blessing over them, to speak a word of life into their soul. And listen, they love it. You can literally see them basking. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen English people when the sun comes out in the English summer, where they bask in the sun. You know, the 3 days of summer that English people have, if you're watching from the UK, you're in the middle of summer, your sun goes down at 10 o'clock at the moment, enjoy it. We're sitting here in cold Joburg, we envy you, but you only get 3 days of summer anyway. So when the English summer happens, people, like, they come out and they just bask in the sun. That's how our kids bask in that blessing. Hey, can I ask you a question? When was the last time somebody basked in the sunlight of your words? When was the last time you blessed somebody with the words that you spoke over them? So, first way to bless, number one, is to see them. Second way to bless is to speak well of them, to speak well over them. The third way we bless others, the third component of what makes a profound blessing, is to give away some of our own life so that someone else can have life. It's to give away some of our own life so that someone else can have life. So it's to see them, to speak well over them. But then the third way is to give away some of us. It's to give ourselves away for him or her, the person that's being blessed. To bless someone is to, and to bless them fully is to, in a way, die for them. It's to let a part of us die so that a part of them can live. Those of you who've ever seen the musical Les Miserables, there's the story in Les Mis, the main character, Jean Valjean. He goes looking one day for a young man named Marius. The reason he goes looking for Marius is because Marius wants to propose to his daughter, his adopted daughter. Marius is, in Jean's eyes at least, in danger of taking, or Jean's in danger of Marius taking his one and only joy that's left in his life away from him by marrying her. And so Jean goes looking for young Marius one day. He goes looking for him so that he can form an opinion about Marius. He wants to see what sort of man is going to potentially marry his daughter. He comes across Marius one day in this very moving scene. Marius is sleeping. It's nighttime and Marius is sleeping. The reason he's sleeping is there's a big battle the next day. And the thing is that it's very possible that Marius is going to die in battle the next day. Quite possibly having the last sleep of his life. And there's this moving, moving scene as Jean Valjean comes across Marius. He realizes this is the man that's going to marry his daughter. And the scene changes. It's not like now he's not interested in forming an opinion of him. In this moving scene, he sings the song over this young man. He sings the song of blessing over him. And the words, the last refrain of the song go, let him live and let me die. Let him live and let me die. Let him live and let me die. In other words, he's speaking life over him, and he's giving a part of himself up so that the young man can live, so that the young man can have life. We see this scene powerfully happening in Jesus' own life. Jesus is the infant. He's born. And of course, we see wise men coming, and we see Herod's reaction. And stark contrasts between the wise men's reaction to Jesus. They come. What do? They bring a part of themselves. They give up a part of themselves. They bring these extravagant gifts to Jesus so that they lay their gifts, they lay their lives at the feet of the younger one so the younger one can be blessed, can thrive, can flourish. Herod, on the other hand, what does he do? He brings no such gifts. Herod brings a curse. Herod speaks a curse. Herod orders a genocide. Such a different reaction between the ones who give themselves up and the one who holds on to power at the expense of the young. You know, one of the most powerful things we can do as we get older in life is to bless younger people, to really champion them, to give up so they can go up. It's powerful when we do that. It's powerful as a form of blessing others. This happens when a mom and dad work two or three jobs to get their kids into a school that they know is good for them. This happens when a mom, a dad, either lay down their careers so that they can be present for their children in more meaningful ways. This happens with a team member, an older member, a team who leads and mentors a younger team member, leads them and mentors them to become greater than they ever were. This happens when an older leader takes a younger leader under their wing and it invests every single bit of resource they have in their lives. They give the benefit of all that they've got to this younger person. Why? So that they can be blessed, so that they can thrive and they can flourish. We see this in a husband who gives up or lays down his desires so that a wife can fulfill her dreams too. The third way we can bless, the third component of a blessing, is to let some part of us die, to give up something of us so that somebody else can live. I experienced this blessing personally recently. Pastor Donovan, who is our leader and our mentor and our spiritual father, phoned me one day and said he wants to get rid of a whole bunch of his books. He needs to downscale the size of his study and wanted to give a whole bunch of his books away. And he began to phone me and talk me through all the different books that he had and would I like this book or that book, etc. And when the box arrived, one of the things that I took out that was the box of books that meant the most to me was his personal Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. If you're a pastor, you'll know how much a Thompson's Chain Reference Bible means. It's kind of like air that we breathe. And I took hold of this Bible in my hands and thought about the history of it, thought about how many times it had been paged through, thought about the fact that he had parted with this, something very precious, gave up something of his so that I could have life through it again. It's powerful when we give up. Here's the question: what do you have that somebody else needs? What do you have that somebody else needs? Could be your time, could be your talent, could be your treasure, could be your knowledge, could be your finances, could be your expertise, could be any one of those. So important that we look to give up something of our own. And even as Kulu encouraged us in our giving as a church, you know, we bless our church. And guess what? You bless people on the other side of that, that are being fed, families that are being fed, looked after. When we invest, when we sow, and specifically thrive-wise financially, but through our serving, through our time, through what is our talents, what God has given us. So many ways we can bless others. We see them, we speak well of them, and we invest our time and our resource. We give up something of our own into them. Let me give you three statements that I think are powerful. Number one, I see the good. I see the good that God has created in you. That's statement number one. Internalize this. Make it part of your life. I see the good that God has created in you. Second statement, I speak the good that God thinks about you. I speak the good that God thinks about you. Statement number three, I give you what I have and what you need. I give you what I have and what you need. Today, I want to just take a moment and speak to you personally. If you're watching and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, today there is a blessing that I want to speak over your life. And the blessing is simply this: God looked at you while you were being formed in your mother's womb. He looked at you and he said, "It is good. You are good." And maybe even as I was preparing for today and praying through even this morning, just how to communicate this to you, felt such a strong sense of leading by the Holy Spirit to say to some of you watching today in this moment, maybe somebody has never said you are good over you. I want you to know today, God declares you are good. God declares life and blessing. God says, "This is my blessed child in whom I take great delight." And as I speak those words to you, something in your heart will leap. And Jesus invites you into a friendship with him, a friendship that's available to you in this moment. It would be my deepest privilege and honor to pray for you in this moment. And so if you want me to pray for you in this moment, I'm going to ask you, if you're on our church online platform, simply to click on the raise hand icon at this moment to say, "That's me. I want to make a decision to follow Jesus, to invite him into my life and to begin a friendship with him." Or you could simply WhatsApp, if you're watching on the other platforms, WhatsApp the words "follow Jesus" right now so that I can include you in my prayer. Shall we pray together, church? Wherever you are, families, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, those of you able to gather, you in the same house, come on, won't you gather yourself together in this moment? Gather each other around you. Grab the other family member. Pull them closer. We're going to pray in this moment a prayer of commitment, a prayer of followership, a prayer of discipleship for those who are responding to follow Jesus. But we're also going to pray a blessing over our families. Father, in this moment, thank you for every person who's responding to your call to say yes to you, Jesus, to follow you, to invite you into their lives, to begin a friendship with you. In this moment, we thank you, Jesus, for your life. Thank you that you taught us the ultimate way to live. Not only that, you forgave our sins, dealt with every wrongdoing we've ever had in our lives, made a way for us to access God's grace, made the way for us to have a friendship with Jesus and with the Father. Thank you. In this moment, we want to respond and say yes to you, Jesus. And as families are gathered in this moment as well, we want to take a moment to commit our families together to you. As we lay our hands on our family members, as we bless them, we speak life over them. Father, I speak life over every family watching today. I speak blessing over them. I speak life over them. I pray that every family member led by moms and dads today would not only see each other, but that they would speak life into the souls of each other, and that we would mutually submit to each other, give up something of ourselves so the other can thrive and prosper and be blessed. As we build stronger families, Father, not perfect, but stronger, would your hand of blessing rest over each family member? And would the power of the Holy Spirit reside within us stronger than ever before, that we would become the family members that we would love to live with? In Jesus' name, amen. Church, before we leave today, something vitally important. This Wednesday, coming up, this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, I want to invite you to join me just for half an hour for quiet and calm moments. It's going to be on Zoom. I'm going to be on Zoom. The Zoom ID will be on your screen right now. It's this coming Wednesday, the 23rd, 6 a.m. We're going to take just 30 minutes together. What am I going to do? I'm going to read a scripture over you. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. We're going to pray a blessing for each other. We're going to take communion together, and we're going to have just a few minutes of quiet, calm moments to start the day. I want to invite you into that space. I want to invite every family member, every friend that you've got, family members near and far, send them the Zoom ID, invite them to join us. We're going to take a moment before we start the day at 6 a.m. and just see what God will do in our souls just for a few minutes together. So join me for that as we build stronger families. Not perfect, just stronger. Be blessed and may grace and peace be yours, each and every one of you. God bless.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.